We got enough to go.
Yeah.
We got four. But we're missing.
Okay, let's call the meeting to order. Mary, we're not gonna wait for.
Oh.
Is Mary?
She had a daughter that had to have emergency appendectomy a couple days ago, so.
Okay, okay.
She was at the meeting last night, council.
Okay. All right, so let's call the meeting to order and go around the room and do introductions. My name's Jeff Kruth. I'm part of the Transportation Advisory Board.
Chair.
Chair, I'm sorry, more, thank you.
Greg Dealer, I'm a member of the Transportation Advisory Board.
Rich Faith, also a member.
Hannah Compton, not a member, but could be.
Mikhail Rosenberg, member of the Transportation Board.
Eric Lance, Public Works Director, and City Engineer.
Our guide, Assistant City Engineer.
Logan Hart, Transportation Advisory Board.
Thank you. All right, so the first item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. So does anybody have anything they would like to see added, subtracted? Comments? Okay, we'll move right along. Review and approve of the September 2025 summary notes. Has everybody got a chance to look at those, and is there any comments? Yes. Okay. We don't, we're gonna just move on then. We're not gonna vote to approve. Yep, Greg stole me that at the meeting, so. And our next item is number four is public comments. Do we have any?
I'm not commenting tonight.
Okay, all right. Any other public comments from anybody that you guys heard about? Okay. All right, so the first item on our business.
Clayton's here. Hi, Clayton.
Hey there.
All right, so we got Clayton. Great. Thanks for joining. We're on to our business, so we're gonna review the transportation system plan, chapters 1-3 tonight. And how do you wanna do that? Do you guys wanna pull it up on the screen and kind of walk us through the we can follow along, or what do you?
Who's responsible for doing that one? Getting out of Sando?
Yeah, so one and two, we were all just gonna do.
Right.
And then three was a silence of which paid all the time. I thought we could. It's the pedestrian.
Yeah, we don't have the other one, but that's for several years, actually. It's like.
So Eric just left.
He went to the door.
All right, so I don't know if everybody's had a chance to look up chapters 1 and 2. I think at a minimum, we could pull up 2 and look at those goals.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really the driver for the whole thing. So we can.
And I think I would start off with the question, has there been any kind of an audit done to determine performance against those goals, whether those goals have been met? There's a lot in there in terms of setting goals, very, very specific measurements and questions. Well, how are we doing?
Right, right. Okay.
I'd say the closest that we've got to evaluation criteria is just updating the pedestrian plan. Created new criteria.
Okay.
To establish and rank those projects.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something.
I wanted to hit on this land use right here, the projections that we had in the built the plan. For the population of West Lynn, are we? I think we're tracking around 27,000 right now.
Yes, 27, 28.
So
somewhere in the middle.
We haven't blown past our 2040 projections there as far as people, households. I suppose that's pretty close. Any comments on employment, or do you think we're tracking about where the plan had it, or?
I don't even know how to.
I don't either.
I don't know how to tell that, to be honest with you. The households is probably, population of households is probably tracking correctly, although that number seems kind of high even for 2010. 10,000 households.
Can you expand on those pages at all?
Yeah, I can.
I don't know what is common practice with these to go back and normally you're looking at projects, I'm not looking at.
What's the planning department? I mean, I know you hear from, you're the planning department, we don't have enough multifamily houses. We didn't, if that's in there, we didn't meet that, whatever. We don't need it.
Well, I mean, this is pretty standard way of any transportation consultant would approach plan. You know, you always look at your forecast in terms of what you project your households and employment are going to be, because that drives traffic. And so you kind of work from there, so. But, you know, a lot of these, I'm sure, were derived from the metros, which you did it. Their taker of forecasting.
Yeah, and this is data that came from Metro, right?
Yep.
And if you scroll down a little bit more on this page, somewhere in there, I picked up, hold on a second. Oh, this right here, the forecast predicts a continuation of predominantly residential development pattern that currently exists in West Lynn.
Nothing. In other words, we're not going to be a big industrial powerhouse unless we get a lot more land.
Well,
this is something, we're not going to get that either.
Quick question. I mean, is this going to take into account any changes that potentially happen with the Vision 43? Initiative and just higher density along 43. I feel like that could change the numbers pretty drastically.
Yeah, I don't think this plan was from 2016. It's likely not going to take into this what I would call a newer initiative for Vision 43. And you're right, Logan. If Vision 43 kind of takes off the way it's vision two, then yeah, it would drastically change our commercial numbers, right? Because we would our commercial's pretty low, like 5% for the city. So adding anything is going to make that percentage go up, you know, more drastically. It probably won't impact residential all that much. You know, try to densify housing, but it's hard to say whether that's ever going to take off. We'd hope the commercial piece is the one that takes off and goes, but that's a vision, right? We have no idea when that'll ever take shape.
And the same thing would apply with the
waterfront.
Waterfront plan.
Yeah, and all those, like, although they are now, waterfronts have kind of been adopted as a thing, right? It's going to provide those zoning areas. It's all got to be driven by private development for it to happen.
Yeah.
They've got to be the precursor to kick it off. So
right.
Then we can try to get involved and help.
Yeah, and there was an article in the Oregonian about the 75 million, you know, that Kate Brown's group has. And that sounds really exciting.
But it won't be any development. It's
tearing
down the old building and converting it to what it was, I guess.
It kind of hinted at some of repurposing some of those old buildings, which I've seen some really cool stuff in other cities that took advantage of an old industrial site, did utilize some of that infrastructure. It was really cool.
Well, and if that, my own take, if that is what they're aiming to do, or what is a possibility to do with some of that money, that could inject enough life into that area that other people want to come in.
A catalyst to make
private
development. Yes, on 43 in particular.
Yeah, and that whole region down there could kind of help spur stuff along. But again, That's not happening tomorrow. We got, we're gonna have to wait that out a little bit.
Right. Okay. All right.
The good news is we have somebody in the table who's gonna manage.
Lead around.
Okay, do we want to jump to the two? Do you want to go, Jeff, just let me know when you want to stop.
Yeah, let's, I mean, I didn't have much more.
Okay.
Did anybody else have any jumped out?
Well, I guess as we're scrolling through, if there's anything in particular that has changed, for example, I assume you still have the same TASs that you did then for transportation analysis purposes. So that's still valid.
For us, it's still valid. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything on the vacant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whether it is actually still valid, it's would only come out in the next ESP. Right, like we wouldn't.
Which no, but I mean those zones are still set up.
Yeah,
to your knowledge.
So my knowledge, these are all still. Yeah, the same. We haven't changed anything in that regard. Okay, yeah. I thought you had like the actual.
No, just okay. In terms of the maps and like, the accuracy, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, nothing. Eric, jump in if I miss something. But I don't think anything's changed in there.
No,
that we're aware of.
We don't have any data to have in there.
Here's our goals.
Yeah. Okay, or area safety access. Equity and maintenance. I know that I think it was under maintenance, they did set the 70%, was that? Yeah.
We're down in the 60s. I got up a little bit the last couple of weeks.
For what?
Payment management.
Oh, so I was talking to Clark earlier. I should have kind of a draft, or not a draft, final report at our next meeting.
Oh, good.
We did get that revised. The first thing we went down.
So that's before we did the paving, or thought we would do the paving?
Yeah, there's just been too many, a lot of our, you know, money with the Main Street project, other big projects, we haven't done as much maintenance as we would have liked. And so, you know, I don't quite understand what scoring in Street Saver, the program that they use.
Well, money, you're not saying that money got siphoned off of maintenance for those projects, are you? You're just saying that they occupied your priorities.
Our street fund money went towards those big projects rather than.
Well, but now we got those big projects behind us, and I think the only good news about getting more scores, it gives us ammunition to say we need to up the ante. I
mean, and don't get me wrong, we didn't use all of the street right now. Just saying, we can only manage in house so many projects,
right?
So those were big projects, and so rather than kind of multiple road projects going on at once. Right. Okay, this is our project.
Get there. I feel more confident.
Yeah,
we got ours. Okay, so safety. Anybody got any comments on safety? When day to day stuff, or you guys are seeing anything at the city that
I don't even have high collision?
Yeah, I feel like the safety 1A is a target we were already almost meeting before we probably did this. So that's not, I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm. But I guess I don't know where you had high collision mitigations before. Most of them would have been on Highway 43.
And most of them are. Most of our accidents at all are on Highway 43.
Right.
Right. I think that's the
you
big.
Can't do much about it.
Right.
St. Pimlico would be one we were going to do a signal or something there. We've never gotten it done. And
As we've found out in our quest to try to get grant money, we don't qualify for most of them because we are a safer city as far as vehicle accidents go.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not a bad thing not to qualify to get money.
And unfortunately, the most, what do you call it? high accident corridors or Highway 43, Pimlico and Hidden Springs and Cedar Oak, which we were
going
on our way to fixing, but didn't work. Too expensive.
Right. So this is about traffic. I mean, we have had a person that got killed down by the school in the last year or two.
Which apparently that had really nothing to do with the road.
It, okay.
Well, I mean, had he had a full sidewalk, it would have helped, but apparently it was just the sun, just, it was one of those days where sun was right in the driver's eyes, apparently.
Okay. Well, I guess.
I definitely feel like if there was a sidewalk there, though, the chances of him being on it, right? I mean, obviously, but we can't put sidewalks on every street, right? And that's not a high traffic thing, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, in general, when I think about safety in the city, yeah, we don't have a lot of high impact car things, but we've talked all about the scooters and, you know, now we've had pedestrians have problems. So I don't know. I just hope it's still on the top of everybody's mind when you're talking about things amongst the city staff, you know, sure. Traffic Safety Committee. I know you guys are involved in that. So,
anyway. Well, and you all have been involved when we adopted a roundabout policy.
Yeah.
That was a safety. That's how we presented it as a safety thing, because that's what it is.
Okay. Any other comments on that? Or we just keep on scrolling? Mobility, access, and environment.
So, I mean, I can get.
Yeah.
The idea of you need to do a transit study or something, but.
Yeah, what did we talk about last time?
We talked about, you know, how we did the pedestrian study, then we talked about. We talked about needing to do a transit study. And in fact, I even talked to Laura Curry and got lunch for breakfast with her about, you know, their system. They're going to be running buses down I-205. I always wondered what bus was going to go down that freeway. Oh, it's a Wilsonville bus from Oregon City to
Clackamas Business Center.
Yeah, Wilsonville.
That's not sitting well with a lot of people.
Are they going to?
Well, actually, FHWA approved using the shoulders of the freeways for. Actually, you can use them for a lane, but ODOT's only adopted it for a buses, so they don't have to sit in traffic with anybody else. I don't know who paid for it, but that's an FHWA, Federal Highway Industry,
yeah,
where they count. But you can use the shoulders. If I argue with him one time, we got these 12-foot wide shoulders, and hardly ever use them, and we don't have enough lanes. Did I ever convince them of that? They actually were working.
What's going to happen, though, if we have somebody that's a breakdown situation,
bus will have to get out in the regular lane and go back home. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, just like when they come to each off ramp,
right? Like, they got to get back in. Yeah, it's not an ideal.
Yeah.
You know, it's not perfect. But I don't know how many buses are going to run.
But you're saying that those aren't going to be TriMet buses. There's
TriMet could do it. They don't have any routes out there.
No, yeah.
It's Wilsonville.
It's a smart system. It's a smart system.
Yeah, because I've never seen this.
They've reached out to us because they want to do it. I mean, they're going to do a stop off of.
Yes, she mentioned the 10th Street. Yeah, she did mention that to me.
Which we didn't know anything about, but we don't have a problem with it. I think it's an interesting location. So.
Well, that's why I go back to doing a transit study, because I there's options out there, none of them which may work. But we won't know that until we have somebody that actually knows what they're doing. You know, actually do a study. Like Gilson probably does transit studies.
Yeah, I was just looking back at our notes. We did talk about talking about a traffic study with like someone like Gilson or DKF, but also like a community survey. About
right, to see if anybody would even use
what we really need and what's practical to add. Because we all agree that our current TriMet bus route is just not
going to do it. It's going to die.
Yes, it's not going to have enough ridership to keep going.
We have a freight time problem.
So are there other routes? Is that what we would be? Are there other opportunities?
Well, or
other routes?
Here's my, if it ever occurs, we have to have, like, I think truck 12 can have, so we have to have a little shovel, just runs around town. picks you up, takes you down to 43, which runs every 15 minutes. Not even if that works, but you have to have something like that. It's always that last mile that never works, right? And you can't really try. I've never walked up that hill from 43. So just not.
That's a tough one.
He's trying to
hold your thumb.
Yeah, I thought of that. I didn't have any of my neighbors.
I was curious. I noticed that there was something in the report about Mary's Woods offering a shuttle to not just residents, but like anybody from that area to some of the transit centers. So it wasn't just for residents, but I know this report isn't like, you know, super recent. And so I was curious if that service still exists. And having been here for 3 years, I wasn't aware of that. And so I didn't know if that's something that we could like publicize as, you know, and I don't know if they like, basically if that's, could in some way function as an additional park and ride. It's not super far from the Emmanuel Church, which is the, I think, as of this report that I was reading, the last or the only of our official park and rides in the report. But a park and ride is another way to make a really more incentive to, you know, I'm coming from like King County in Washington, is my last US place of record, and they are heavily used. And so just an idea there, and I'm wondering if people know about that Mary's Woods.
But if we do the study, that would be one of the things we would find out.
So a transit study, right, would be for just the Westland city confines, or how?
It would be one that allows you not to have to drive your car downtown Portland, or I don't even know. That's why you got to ask that. But it just,
I have a question.
Here's the thing you need to understand, and a friend of mine told me, women will outlive their ability to drive by 10 years, and men will outlive their ability to drive by 7 years. You're too old, you can't drive anymore. So what are your alternatives? Now we have the internet that will pick you up. But...
Right.
Okay. Hi, Mary. We didn't even know, I'm sorry, we didn't even know you were there. You're hitting to my second screen.
I snuck in, sorry. So I just had a quick question, if it's the right time to interject.
Sure.
Would it possibly beneficial to talk to, even have, invite a TriMet representative to present before putting out a survey to help inform questions? What I'm hearing, and the reason why I'm asking this, is because I just today was on the C4 call, which is the Clackamas County Coordinating Committee for cities on transportation. And TriMet representatives gave a presentation about bus service. And apparently they are projecting cutting service, and they also talked about park and rides. And unfortunately, they are actually trying to repurpose their park and rides, which are no longer being utilized at the levels pre-pandemic, because people have stopped necessarily going downtown at the rate every day. And maybe the couple of times a week they're going downtown, they just drive because they can make that pay, rather than compared to a, you know, paying 5 days a week of downtown parking. So park and rides, he said they're repurposing. Just as one example, I mean, I love the idea of park and rides, obviously, but I'm just saying, maybe informing the questions we're asking by talking to a TriMet person about the trends they're currently considering.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense before we embarked on anything we were going to do, right? They're gonna start doing less routes.
Yeah, either we have to ask TriMet, or the consultant we hire has to ask TriMet, because they aren't going to be able to do a study without obviously talking to the biggest bus agents.
I think it sounds like a great idea before we hire out and spend more money on something to start with something that might be local and free, like somebody from TriMet coming out and informing us a little bit. But I know that also getting things going, if that slows us down too much, that's understandable too.
Well, we have no timeline, so. You know, how long did it take us to do the pedestrian study?
A year.
Is there any correlation to Lake Oswego as far as more similar situated communities? They're a bigger population than Westland, right?
Yeah.
But how is their TriMet service better?
TriMet service is really actually pretty good.
Portland and everything goes through. We're at the end of the road here.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know if there's a lot of correlation between the two, even though we're close. They just, yeah, I think they also have a much higher utilization rate than we do.
They got better services, kind of.
Yep.
Chicken and egg.
Okay.
Question, just because I don't know the process. Are we given a allowance to work through the goals of this report, or do we make recommendations to council and then provide a quote or dollar value to do a traffic report, for example, and then get approval to appropriate that money? How does that process work?
Yeah, I don't to be honest. I did not participate in this development in this TSP.
I mean, if we want to do a transit study, we will make that recommend, you know, that's what we want to do. That'll be separate, right, from the report. We'll just make that recommendation like we did on, but you have some consulting funds available.
Right.
The same thing.
Kittleson report, you pay for that out of your budget?
Yeah.
That would happen?
Yeah.
The same.
Did that kind of answer?
Is that what you're asking? When you say allowances, is there for these individual studies, or when we adopt this? I guess I was sorry if I didn't answer.
No, it's a good question. You know, going through this report, right, where we've made kind of a, you know, these different committees, and we're going through and doing an analysis on sidewalks and things like that. And obviously that was paid for somehow, that initial Kittleson report. But then for these targets, like, you know, reduce single occupancy vehicle miles traveled, or like, is to go through and trying to meet these goals and these targets, do we as a group have a bucket of money that we work from, or we discern how to achieve some of these goals and targets? Dollar amount tied to it.
You kind of broke up there, that last question.
I'm wondering, my guess is that we probably, as the TAB, we don't have a budget, right? But we make recommendations then for people who are controlling appropriations. Is that how that works? That's just a guess, but I'm wondering.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just say hypothetically here, we need a $50,000 transit study. We're gonna come to you and you're gonna talk to John, right? And if you guys can come up with the money and probably run it by city council, then we would go ahead and do that. Is that how that works? I think that's the root question here.
We would just pull it out of on-call traffic services that we have, and it's gonna be a low enough amount. We don't have to go through John or city council.
Okay.
So
that's good to know. Yeah. Okay. So does that kind of help answer your question, Logan?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Thanks, Clayton, for drinking in. Yep.
But his question's right. For the rest of the targeted ones, there's no, I mean, like improved freight travel time reliability. Well, when a project comes in that we can do something to help freight time travel reliability, you'll include that in the project. See you guys going out there. I know we have a freight time problem, but except on the freeway.
We don't have any control over.
Yeah, no control over anyway.
Yeah.
Increase the percentage of people that. So all of these basically will happen, I think, when you do a project, when some project comes in by a developer, or you do a project. You added bicycle lanes on Rosemont this time, right? You did a project that goes to target number 1A and 2A. You know, look for a different.
Yeah.
So you keep, I believe, maybe. You keep these targets in mind every time a project comes up.
Yeah.
Which is different than particularly somebody like me that's a list checker offer that goes, okay, I did all those. I did this one, I did that one, I did that one.
Well, I was saying, like with the safe routes, we've done gotten some of those off the list.
So that, I think, you know how it's kind of works, like.
Well, I didn't evaluate the projects against systemic competition at all, but, okay. I mean, it would make sense to approach it that way, sure.
Same, I mean, we've, our pedestrian plan.
Right.
Right. I guess one thing I've thought of too, when I look at 2A is, that's a big goal, how do you measure it, all that stuff, but, you know, if the work we do, like with our roundabout thing, there was a, to me, there was an environmental component to that, that we're, you know, we're not having cars sitting there idling, if we could ever get a way to, you know, reduce our single occupant vehicle miles, that would be great. The pedestrian stuff that we're trying to promote, that's a great way to do it, just from the city perspective. Having a spin on an environmental message and what we're doing to kind of help that, I think is, maybe that's an angle we can also work towards. Hey, we've got something here, we're trying to get behind it, see if there's any money from kind of that angle. Metro or whoever it may be, I don't know, just brainstorming here a little bit. Okay.
So, I mean, you have been doing some pedestrian or some curb.
Yeah.
Preschool. No, that's a goal, these are aspirational.
I'd love to see how you're gonna measure whether it's increased by 40%. You know, I mean, that's admirable to throw something in there, but it's almost impossible.
Right, measure.
It's right now, and it's gonna.
Gee.
Okay, so maintenance, anything there, increased local road pavement condition index, we talked about that, we're gonna see a report on that at some point. Sparkling.
What was the, do you remember what it was in the draft?
I think it was a little bit over 70, we're at 66.
We're at 66.
So we slid from good to fair.
Okay, well, like you said, we had a couple of years that we weren't, now we're gonna get back on it.
Well, and that was one of our budget presentation, you know, there's different funding scenarios that they present.
Right.
Current scenario, you know, unconstrained, and one of the, to get back to 70, need around $13 million over the next 5 years, whereas we've budgeted for about half of that, 7.6. So it's one of the struggles, is like, we have a funding, yeah, that's it, yeah.
So we have to double our street. Okay, well, we see now where you are.
So has there been any discussion as to when you might tackle a TSP update? I mean, normally they talk about every 10 years, so that would technically be coming up next year.
Yeah, I think the last I heard, we were on the list for like 29.
8 or 9.
Yeah. Okay. They're, from a funding perspective and from,
yeah,
we were not in the top tier list in the state.
Who's the?
Metro drives it, right?
Well, Metro, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like, I think like Milwaukee and maybe Tualatin just finished theirs, so they're.
Goes to be funded through what we're called TGM, Transportation Growth Management, grants. I don't know if that's still around or not, but that was customarily, if you could get your TGM grant, then you were good to go with an update.
Who is that, through Metro?
No, I think that was through, DLCD. Yeah, DLCD's TGM program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that is still accurate as far as where the grant is, but the timing on when we're slotted to get in there for that was still 28, 29.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. There's not much we can do, because we've had this discussion, we were talking about making this update for our pedestrian plan, as to whether should we wait and hold off, knowing that we do need to do another TSP, but it's like, well, we're still 5 years away. from another PSP really says doing the update to our pedestrian prioritization was, that's why we really kicked that off. Because we knew we weren't going to get to another TSP for a couple more years. Mm-hmm. Didn't see any need to wait. Saw a meet with the community based on the number of community members streaming in to talk about sidewalks. We asked, but we did.
Yeah.
All right. See, we can go through all this. I don't know how valuable it is.
This.
I mean, it'll become valuable when we do the next update.
Okay. Because this is a valuation criteria we did with our.
Right, and that's all, that all changed to some regard, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Given how bad.
Yeah, right. That would turn out. Or that's exactly what we were working around with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, do we want to jump to that memo and look at the memo anymore, or are we?
For our pedestrian plan?
Yeah, did you have a chance to read that?
So I did look out over chapter 3.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's
out of the TSP, or did you?
The TSP.
Because I think I sent you this too.
You did.
Because this was the, this would supersede that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Our new memo.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't want to put you on the spot. I think you're the, I feel like Logan and Clayton came on the end of the PED plan. I just wanted to kind of fill you in on where.
This I have it, just don't have the notes for this, but I chapter
so
three, I do.
Can we take that to the council to get adopted? Our pedestrian plan? No?
No, because I think that we decided to, we would have to amend the TSP.
No, so they can't adopt it as a separate.
Are you sure we don't?
And we almost have to have an 18 to work.
I know you said that that was the next step, but I know.
Did we do that? I don't remember.
The council did.
Okay. And does Mary
take some action on that? All right. Well, anyway, did you have any comments with your review on that? Just because, you know, you came in here, this is new to you, but. And after you reviewed anything,
chapter 3 talks about the existing conditions. One of them, I mean, safety can discuss safety, but or maybe what I heard, and also what I wanted to say earlier was Kevin was asking if this can be streamed on YouTube, Kevin Bonington.
Oh. Yeah, unfortunately, it can't be because I don't, the link doesn't work.
Okay. So, what are the strengths and weaknesses of the pedestrian system for sidewalks, crosswalks, lighting, but a few things that I heard would be around the roundabout, sidewalk possibly could be improved on Main Street, and then possibly more sidewalks on Sunset and Rosemont and Summit. So those are the, I guess, specific ones that could be relatable.
And I think, well, Rosemont, because we got it done now, but
I think, yeah, it's in here. Like, if you want
to, yeah,
we had a top 20 project, so.
That's, yeah, that's good observation. So that's a lot of what we talked about. Summit's not good. You know, there's hardly any place to get off the road. There are certain spots.
Back to your question. I can't recall if we took it. Hey, Mary.
Yes.
Do you recall, sorry for the question, I feel silly asking this, but do we, it's too many things. Did we bring the pedestrian plan to council for adoption?
What year are we talking about?
Yeah.
This year is the, where we spent like the last year or so with Kittleson updating that pedestrian priority project list.
Yeah, we talked about it. I mean, I remember, wasn't that related to the calls for different improvements in Sunset? Was it Sunset Avenue? Do you remember?
I think it was
I remember talking about it at these meetings.
Funding options.
I don't think we adopted anything, but I might have to check back real quick. I can just do a little search here.
Yeah, it was kind of driven by the 9th Street, and then there was some stuff over on Osmond and
19th.
Well, we did a joint session
with council
yeah. to discuss it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right.
But yeah, was anything officially adopted at that point?
I thought we did some vote. Let me just, I'm kind of.
I thought it had been, but yeah.
And I'm sorry, I missed that. To what end is this? Like, what are we wondering? Like, what we adopted? Are we looking for a document? Is that what we're searching for?
No, not a document. We're just wondering, because I think you have to take it to council for adoption and or amend the TSP. And I know we didn't go through that process.
No, we didn't.
We're just wondering what our tech memo, what kind of legs it has.
Right. It's something like we did the roundabout, you adopted that as a policy, and this would be another policy that we have that the council would adopt. That does raise an interesting question. It can't supplant the TSP.
Unless it's adopted as an amendment to it.
Which makes it a heck of a lot more work.
Yeah.
That may be what you have to do.
Maybe that's it. Maybe because it would entail amending the TSP that it just.
Otherwise, what legs does it have? What legal authority does it have? Somebody comes in, we go back to where we were before when citizens say they want their sidewalk improved. And we said, well, we got this tech memo, but it isn't adopted. So then what do you got?
They're going to look at the old priority.
Old one and say, that's where we're at.
Right here.
That won't help.
Very low priority, like.
Yeah, like you were before.
Yeah. But you didn't.
I only have it from 2024. That's all I'm finding is pedestrian plan improvements. That big long list that we've been looking at for
a
while.
It might have been in 24 because we approved it like early this year.
What I kind of recall happening is having this list and then having, you know, community members coming in large groups and vocally, repeatedly advocating for focus on one certain area, and then having to kind of things get reprioritized is what it seems like to me. But that might be not the same as other people have observed.
So maybe you can ask.
Yeah,
let's council or somebody again can do to make this see if there's a way to do it without having to go through an entire, without going through an amendment to the plan.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't really have a nice.
And it should be posted with the TSP as the.
Yeah, that's the one they've adopted as a policy body.
So you're going to check that out.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay. That's why we ask.
I think maybe we got it done and we're like,
We're done.
Move on to the next one. But you're right, we did go to at least a joint session.
Yeah, I know that.
I just remember discussions, but I don't remember anything being adopted officially other than this March of 2024.
I guess, one more thing along those lines. So you were talking last time you had come up with a number that would have to be raised in order to do this over 20 years. And I know the mayor had a
funding on fab. Did this come up in that funding about sidewalks and the amount of cost and money going in?
Yeah, we're still kind of to be continued on that.
Okay.
We have another work session on the second to kind of talk about some general fund fees, I believe, and possibly whatever we're going to call it, traffic safety fee, maybe an operations complex fee, stuff like that. So it's still up in here.
Gotcha. But it didn't get raised.
Yeah.
Okay. Still paying me $7 a month.
Okay. Anything else on chapter three?
I would say, no. I think that'll be the key one.
Okay. Well, thanks for reviewing that. And you hit on a couple, certainly a couple areas that we've already talked about is in that plan. So that's good to know. So next time, we'll talk about chapters 4, 5, and 6, right?
You got assigned.
We got, yeah, and they're already assigned to Alex, Clayton, and Logan. And then in March, we'll talk about 7, 8, and Greg's on cleanup with the big summary. Is it March?
We had 3 people for 2 chapters.
No, 3 chapters, 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah. And then 7, 8. Rich has got 7. I'll do 8. And it's big lift there. And
well, I wasn't at the last meeting when this all came about. So I just wanted to make sure I understand what is the expectation of each of us as we take on a specific chapter.
Right.
What is it we are to do with that, I guess?
I guess from my perspective, when I looked at it, well, 2 things. One of them is to kind of just, for our new board members, have a discussion and an awareness of what's in the TSP. Mm-hmm. And secondly is for, you know, taking a snapshot look at it 10 years later, right?
Yeah.
And how are we doing? Is there anything there that we're missing, or we as a group here could incorporate some of the things we talked about? That's
okay.
Just as simple as that.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else?
Or something you said? Something just seems out of whack.
Like, yeah. But like, wow,
that doesn't fit anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So if that concludes the review of the TSP, we'll move on to the discussion of recent traffic safety committee requests.
Okay, I'm going to stop sharing this. I'm going to not share that long cycle. Attention.
The meeting's actually.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
One second, everybody. Sorry. There we go. All right. Well, you guys are all lucky. We actually had a Transportation Safety Committee meeting yesterday.
Okay.
5 topics. Everybody can see that, right? So these are just quick snapshots of what we were looking at here. Additional speed signage on Willamette Falls Drive. So this one, valid enough if you turn off of 14th Street.
You'll see the speed.
If you turn right and head out of town, there is not another speed limit sign until you get past 16th Street.
And then it's 30.
Yeah, and then it goes up.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, while they were having this conversation, we were looking at the maps, and you're right, there's probably should be another speed limit in both directions, actually, because mm-hmm. there's a mm-hmm. pretty good void. So, well, I did have the operational guy kind of put on their list to go out and just check and see what our standard spacing is for those speed limit signs, but this would probably warrant an additional sign just for clarity. It was a very, very good request because these are ones we're not going to see all that often. Summerlin Drive, no parking. This was very specific to one small location. And it wasn't even the entire extent of the drive. It was in front of one's
house.
Not a house. It's the commercial. You go up Silent Drive off of Blankenship. Can't picture it. I can try to. I don't know. I have my map up. Yeah, I do. So this little stretch before it goes into the private area, the condos.
Right.
There is a commercial entrance that is right here. But it's very hard to see if you park on either side of that. See how it. Reasonable request, easy enough to go paint a curb. All good. My concern when they brought that one up is that they were talking about no parking on the entire street, which is wide enough that wouldn't allow something like that. So. Not a justifiable reason necessarily. We had a request for a mirror at Lampaw Drive in West Day. I don't know if someone's there.
So, you should go around.
You go around the corner. I told him it was highly unlikely we would put a mirror there because I don't think it really adds
any value. Do you ever look at them? No. Does anybody ever?
I don't know that we would put one on that classification of a street anyway. Right. Well, we would take a look at it.
I have a clarifying question about that one. So is that saying coming on Willamette Falls Drive towards from Willamette behind you and the Oregon City Bridge coming on? Yeah, that left turn. Is that the one they're talking about?
Yeah.
So I do make that every weekday. And I think I can understand where this request might be coming from is that when the traffic's kind of backed up just a little bit, you really can't see the uphill traffic. Thankfully, it's uphill, so it's a little bit slower. But it's a left turn that really inexperienced drivers are making over and over again because it's at the time of school starting. So anyway, I could see, I don't know how useful a mirror is, but that is a collision. It's the kind of thing that makes me think every day where I'm like looking between the gaps of cars to see if I, you know, so I do think it's definitely a safety concern spot. I don't know if that's the solution though.
Yeah, Clayton, you're absolutely right. And the citizen who requested Andrew had is talking about the same scenario you're talking about as well. It's during the peak hours, either drop off or pickup time, when traffic isn't moving and people are trying to inch out there and turn left up West Day. So it's very specific to two times a day. And it's very it may not be the correct solution for that spot, is what we kind of talked about. I don't know if that would help them. I don't know if that would help improve that situation with a mirror there. But
I do think if it's a low cost, it could be a really valuable I would sure give you feedback on its functionality on a daily basis because it is I work at Westland High School and I drop my kids off at sunset in the morning. And so it's like every day I'm making that turn. And if the traffic is backed up to a certain point, you can't see.
Yeah.
Otherwise, another idea could be maybe I haven't thought of this and I don't know if this even exists, but like if we painted a spot where you have to leave a gap ahead on the road, where then you would be able to have vision there at least, you know, anyway, that is a good spot where I've seen narrow misses where kids are like, you know, especially if it's wet and the tires might not grip as they're turning left going uphill as somebody else is coming. It's a situation that I would love to see get resolved. I had no idea this was on here, but it's I definitely see where they're coming from.
Yep. Now we all agree that it can be an issue during those times of day, but we're not sure that that's the correct application, and we're not sure what we can really do there. So it was something that we're going to the streets crew just kind of take a look at.
Okay, yeah. And then I'd be curious like what the cost is and what the downsides are, because if it's something where it's like we try it and it's not the solution, but it didn't cost us thousands of dollars, then seems like a worthwhile gamble.
Noted. Request for a crosswalk. So for those of you who don't know where this is.
Aren't they down the hill?
Yep. Well, apparently kids from these neighborhoods cross back and forth.
That might be, crosswalk's gonna make a difference.
Well, yeah, so kind of in between Cottonwood and Wilderness is what they're saying. Our conversation with the applicant, and there were several neighbors who also attended. I just don't know that there's a good place to do a crosswalk here. A safe place.
Right, that's the thing, a safe place.
It's gonna be a lot of work, you'd have to have a refuge somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
Example, what was it?
They could get out to the refuge.
They could get out to the middle and there's curb around you, but you have a path through it to keep. Like the crosswalk continues through it, but you have.
A place to stop, see them get ran over.
So it's like they're not out. You ever.
Okay.
Camby, they just did bikes there all the way.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a sight distance issue when you're coming up this end because of the curb. There's a sight distance issue when you're coming down this end because of the curb. There is, I mean, there's a small straight stretch here, but there's still.
Is there, there's any sidewalk on the other side of this?
There is sidewalk on both sides.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, I checked it today when I drove there because I wasn't sure either.
Yeah.
So I mean, there is that piece of it. The best spot is probably here at Oak Tree Avenue, but that's into somebody's driveway.
Where's the curve on the, where's the curve there on that downhill? Yeah, oh, it's up the higher there.
Yeah.
So this is at the bottom.
This is after you've gone around the real.
Yeah.
And you're almost like gonna turn it.
Right, yeah, I get you.
Yes, Mary.
Well, I'm just looking at the name of the street, Chow Main Lane, right there on the map, and it reminds me that that makes me grind my teeth every time I see it. Is that an actual street?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Been around forever.
Well, I was told it was a driveway, and so we had no ability to change the name as the city authority. But if the city has the authority to change that name, could someone please let me know? Because I want to do it yesterday.
Yeah, so sorry, I'll double check that area, but I'm looking at this now. This may be a private. It looks private.
Okay.
It looks like a private.
It just happens to be, okay, it's just on the map that way.
It's apartments there, right? I think that those are apartments there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know, it's a cringeworthy name, Mary Ann Woodsy.
It is a little bit.
Yeah, I see it all the time.
I have another question. Let's get to the end of this list or whatever. But when you're done going through this list, I have a question.
Okay, we're almost there. Okay, so this one has come up on more than one occasion. This area, Santa Anita at Horton and Churchill Downs.
Right.
Yeah. We don't have to go very far. It's just up there.
Is there ever we started paving? About this time.
So it is this crossing here.
Right. Yeah, I've seen people.
What's the issue?
They wanted additional advanced signage for the crosswalks, which already exist. There are advanced signage. So, you know, we have a sign back here for a crosswalk upcoming and then the actual signage here. We have them in the other direction.
Yeah.
This is just a really, really bad place to cross the road. Personal opinion, really bad spot to do it. But earlier in the year or last year or something, they came in requesting an RFB, a flasher we put here. We actually did a pedestrian study. There aren't enough people that cross the street this direction across Santa Anita. We have a lot that cross Churchill Downs.
That's kids are going, yeah.
But not enough that cross Santa Anita to warrant it. Additionally, our safe routes recommendations would have us put one here as before we put one
there.
At Pimlico. Which kind of makes sense. If you're, it's a matter of convenience. If you're in this area, the safest place to cross the street is here because there's a light.
Right.
And if you're farther down the street, this would be the safest place to cross the street with an RFP.
So how did two crosswalks get put there in the first place?
You know what? You'd have to ask Eric.
That's Eric.
I don't know. We have talked about it with the committee in the past, maybe eliminating one of them.
So you'd have to use the one.
I mean.
It doesn't, I mean, crosswalks at every intersection.
Yep, it's legal, yeah, well, it's strapped around, but by striping it, it kind of promotes that it.
That's where.
We want you to cross there.
Does that intersection have those flags that people can use to get across?
But if you're coming from this corner right here, I know this because I walk my dog here all the time. You can have that flag all you want, no one sees you until you're in the middle of the road. And by then, it's kind of too late.
Yeah, from the dog or you.
Yeah.
Dog's got to go.
Is it wide enough for a, the refuge or whatever that's called in the center? Because that seems like the kind of place where there is kind of enough space possibly. And it is really heavily used with the middle school right down the hill.
Yep,
and it is Safeway.
It technically would be wide enough, but it has a left turn lane, which would impede that.
And people end up hitting those things. That's what we have a problem out here in the street.
All right, so what status then?
Well, for that one, it is just a request for additional signage, but the signage exists, so there's no action.
Okay.
It did spur on me this discussion about, well, should we move forward with a project? Because we do have some money in our.
To do the next.
Capital projects to do the RFP down here.
RFP. Yeah, the next one. Right there.
So we kind of. You know, and then that kind of helps access Trillium back here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we had 20 months, so on this month, and I've never seen a field walk there. But we have kids on Santa Anita, and we don't have. I take it off the Rosemont and put it up on Santa Anita, because nobody ever walks it, ever.
What are you talking on down?
Yeah. Should be up by the school.
Right.
But every day I see kids coming out of that school, going down Santa Anita, and then cross the property, and go down to all those homes there.
Here you go.
Okay, so Mary, what was your question? We've got through the list.
So, two things, actually. I'm not sure if this person has come to this format to request this signage, but last night someone came to the city council meeting. I can't remember. Eric, were you there?
I wasn't in the chambers at the time, but I was listening on my computer.
Ray is his first name, I think.
Yeah, we're familiar with it. I was one of the persons that he talked to at the counter, so.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure. Sounds like he was having frustration, but I didn't know if this was the only way to get requests in, was going, submitting them through this public safety committee, or if there's other ways that requests come in. My other question is.
Real quick, I mean, that is the way we want it to come through, so we're not, we're looking at it bigger picture and more people have some opportunity to comment.
It's more transparent.
More transparent, yeah.
So has he been informed of this process?
Yes.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, okay.
He had the application in his hand when I was talking to him. He just couldn't get him to submit. That's all I wanted to do. And there was some back and forth about what, as he said even last night, that it's unimproved because of the width. And I was like, well, I don't know that I agree with that. We'd have to go out and take some measurements, but there's, it's no narrower than Mapleton or other streets down
yeah,
there.
And believe me, I have no need or desire to get into a verifying every single one of his points that he was making last night right now. And it's so, I just, it's hard to, when someone comes like that and it's, and I don't know the details or the history. So that was really all.
So, yeah, we tried to.
I wasn't actually.
About the speed limit and so on.
Yeah.
The crew went out, they were going to sometime this week go out, and he said there's some no parking signs that haven't been put back up. So we'll check on that.
Okay. Yes, I was not automatically assuming that the concerns were justified. I was just,
he's a character.
Brought up a curiosity in my mind.
Yeah.
My other question is completely different, and talking about the high school vicinity reminded me of this. I too used to work at the high school at Westland, and every day at pickup time, there are cars stacked in the bike lane from basically the south to the south of West A Street, kind of in front of the performing arts building, et cetera. Does anyone ever complain about that? I find it to be potentially a safety hazard because they park really close to the crosswalk that's right there. But I was just curious if this has never come up before.
It has, and several years ago, I mean, DKS got involved, and coming down Skyline, that's why they kind of have that sort of a little bit of a gore area there to pull off. And I it's a good reminder. We should reach back out to the school district to see if they're.
Isn't it illegal? Parking the bike lane?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Angry people.
And it is absolutely completely full end to end every day from the entrance to the parking lot on West A behind the Performing Arts Center by those high school tennis courts all the way up to the entrance to the school. And so, yeah, and I saw somebody just within this school year with their mirror get taken off because there's not adequate space to not be in the road. And so every day they're all on the road. And then somebody was coming the opposite. It's a busy time, right? Anyway, so I did watch somebody's mirror get kind of just sheared off on the side there. So I do think it's a safety issue as well.
They did some improvements, striping improvements and so on. And I think they reconfigured their buses, how they come in and out
between the gym.
But it's been a few years, Mary,
Well, 10 years ago when I was working there, I filled out a form and submitted it. And before I ever got involved in any kind of city volunteer work, but my concern is mostly with the safety aspect of how close people park to the crosswalk. The one specific crosswalk is from where the buses enter. The bus lane that goes around behind the buildings, there's a crosswalk right there from the Performing Arts Building to the church across the street. And cars are parked where they create a blind spot for pedestrians who are waiting potentially to cross. And I mean, I just don't understand why. It just seems like everybody's been looking the other way for a long time on that. And if something serious happens, we won't say we weren't warned. There was another person about the same time that I was, it was like a year or two later, was really, really active about this concern, but I don't think anything ever changed.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. Appreciate you bringing it up. We'll reach out to maybe Remo or.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's not an engineering solution for this.
So, I mean, you got two of us. You got one is a sight distance problem, the other is a bike lane. And then you just get rid of the bike lane, then you don't have that problem, right?
Did you just come to our goals? Paying attention?
I hear you. But
I think actually.
What is your alternative? Those parents are picking up their kids no matter what, right? And so you go through there and say, you can't pick up your kids. Well, there'll be, man, just picture the revolt that will happen, right? And so is bike lane still the right solution? Or is it on both sides of the street? Is it just on one side of the street?
You say that, but when we repaved West A 2 years ago, we toyed with the idea of taking the bike lane out.
Right.
And got more angry
from who, the parents or
no, from citizens that the bike lane had to go back in. It wasn't even a fight we were going to get involved with.
Right. I don't blame you. Yeah, do they ride their bikes on that street? Clayton, you work there. See a lot of bikes going up and down?
I wouldn't say I get to see a lot there. No. What I would add though is that I don't, well, and I'm not out on the street. Well, I am, but I'm not on West A that often. What I will say is that also, I don't know that, I know that it was kind of more of a joking remark probably about removing that section of the bike lane. But even if, like, even if the bike lane wasn't there, the shoulder is not sufficiently wide enough to have a car within that amount of space. So I don't seem to be able to attach a picture to the chat here, and I don't need to do it, like, share my screen, but if you bring up, like, on Google Maps what the sidewalk view looks like, that or within what you've got right here, I suppose, it's a really, it's just like the old school bike lane width. And there is another crosswalk also. So this is the one that Mary's talking about that you're looking at. But if you go further towards Oregon City from here, to the southeast, there's another one right there. And that one, I think people have a harder time. It's not so bad because there is the driveway there coming out of the parking lot on your left-hand side. And so there's a gap enough that some people coming that way can see as they're heading down West A downhill. But anyway, yeah, I don't think that I guess I wonder if the question you're asking, Mary, is this something that we'd like to see more enforcement of?
Right. I don't know. I understand it's kind of a no-win situation because fighting with parents, I don't want to get into that either. And having the police ticket, I mean, obviously that would be a mess.
Yeah.
So, but it, like Clayton, is the point you're making is that it's a basically a no parking section. It probably is signed no parking. You know,
I believe it is signed. And every day there's a lineup of people there, and it's not a safe situation. So I mean, one thing would be adding a temporary kind of signage, maybe, or something, where like a sandwich board type sign where it's like enforcement begins such as, I don't even know if that's permissible, because it's like we're admitting that we're not doing enforcement. But if we wanted it to change, I think that signage and like a warning would be, or I guess you could come by, I guess you could just, instead of a sandwich board, you just have somebody come by and inform them that we are going to begin enforcing this. And that would, if nothing else, sure get a lot of creativity around solutions, I'm sure, because people are gonna, but I mean, that's how I feel like Rory got started also, is like parking around Westland High School, right? It's
Big Clayton, would you be willing to reach out to the principal and just maybe they could put out a note to the parents?
I mean, I think the question I think is, what do we do when they don't? Because there's already signs there. And so getting an email from the principal, that's fine. But I think it would need to come with like some sort of,
at the start, I guess, we could reach out to PD and just, hey, here's what's going on. Can you watch this? But if a letter went out to, hey, parents, this is a reminder, there's no parking in such and such areas, maybe they can create a map. School district probably has it, operations, because I think, like I said, with this study, they did some improvements.
Right. Okay, well, let's think about that a little bit more. Maybe Clayton can get a little more feedback from the school, and we'll see where we go.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there any other safety things to bring up? Anybody get hurt lately, or no scooter incidents or anything that? No. Okay.
No.
Okay. Good.
Not that we're aware.
Okay. So let's go to item number 6, which is our capital project updates, the road program.
Oh, you want me to? Oh, sure. Well, for those of you who live and or around Rosemont, you know that we have completed that section road. We actually have completed all of our fall sections that we were intending to do, even though we got a late start. So we did our little piece on Santa Anita. Obviously, Rosemont was the big one, and we did Hidden Springs. Hidden Springs is going to be striped tomorrow and Friday. Yep.
Nice.
And so once that's done, that will kind of end our fall program, and then we'll come back in
dry season?
March, April sometime, and start our work on the College Hill area where we have three or four more streets that were on the list.
Did they get the bid for all of it, or are you going back?
They got the bid for all of it.
All of it.
Because we put it out so late, we kind of, we put it out with the caveat that we're gonna have an initial push in the fall because we want to get these major roads done, and then we're gonna come back in the spring and hit the other one, so.
Did you fill in all of the gaps, sidewalk gaps on Rosemont? I mean, I know that there were like all kinds of segments, but I wasn't sure if they were doing the entire stretch to fill in.
We added bike lanes to everything. We didn't do sidewalk on all of it.
Oh, so it's bike lanes?
Yeah.
Class Ironman sidewalk on south.
There's still gaps.
There's still gaps, but we provided more opportunity.
Okay, you don't have to walk in somebody's yard.
Right.
Okay.
You can actually walk on blacktop.
Yeah, I wasn't.
And be sure.
Trying to solve what's happening there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And saw that there's segments.
It would have been nice if we could have done sidewalk and connected everything, but that was not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ireland, then, was there gonna be a crosswalk put in across there? Is that still happening?
There is not going to be a crosswalk put in at this time because we don't have a good landing spot for it on the other side of Ireland. Have to go at an angle. We don't want to go at a diagonal across the road. So ideally, once more development occurs or redevelopment occurs, we can make that, we can make that crossing. So long-term, final state solution, that's probably where we would have a crossing to go across to the south of Ireland, and then we would have a full connection of sidewalk all the way down to Summit. Because we're likely not gonna be able to put sidewalk on the north side of Ireland.
Yep.
The grades don't work very well. It really messes people's driveways. We looked at it.
So that will, okay. Right, I thought I heard one time you did that. Maybe it's.
No.
Anyway, okay, that was, all right, so thanks.
So there's the update on our program. It was actually quite successful. There, and we got such a late start this year, so. Yep, we really did. I want to roll the dice on that every time. Got a great contract, got a really good price because it was so late in the year, so. Yep.
Nice job. Okay, next item is board discussions. I have one kind of thing to just throw out. This is a question, but like all of us, we probably, if people know we're on this committee, they ask questions about what's going on with transportation, this and that. And so I have somebody that was asking me about this new proposed Tandler apartment complex.
It's Land Circle.
It's not, no, it's on Blankenship and Tandler on the.
Yeah.
North. Is it a simple question? Because that's a whole separate.
The northwest.
Okay, it's a simple question. From the fact that, yeah, I mean, we're not in the planning situation here, but when people ask about that, and I looked briefly at the initial permit, right? And it talks about.
Application, meaning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it talks about a traffic impact study to come, right? So that to me is a question. Is that something that we should have visibility on when it does come? Or?
No, not usually. I mean, with development like that, it.
The planning staff's gonna have to evaluate that as well as you guys.
And engineering.
We're all gonna have to evaluate that to determine there's warrants for signals and so on and so forth.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, I hear that. It's just like, to me, that is a, at the intersection of Solano where everything gets messed up, Blankenship right there. If you pour that many more cars in there, yeah, that's something to talk about. So I would be curious about the traffic impact study once it comes.
So you saw it was proposed, well, Tandler would be realigned.
I saw that.
To come out.
Right.
You know, other park rooms and tracks.
Which is part of the TSP.
Yeah, but on that note, I'll let you know that, you know, there's a lot of opposition. In fact, there's a meeting going on, maybe going on right now, that I was invited to attend concerning that project and the concerns that the neighborhood has and what kind of things that they want to pose about it. There are some voices that expressed concern about that realignment of Tandler, even though it's in the TSP, I don't think that matters to people. It's just in their minds, they don't like it. But anyway, I think, you know, we'll hear, we're going to be hearing more.
Are you ready to go because you're on this committee?
No, just as a past involvement in the neighborhood association.
Gotcha. So how does that process work? I mean, what's the timeline or something to get through the?
I mean, it's right now, it's just an application, right? Yeah, there's pretty.
They have a 180 day review or something to go through and make sure they.
Well, I don't think they've submitted that.
They have their application.
Well, I think they may have, but it's not complete.
It's not complete.
It's not a complete application yet, is.
They did some, they submitted the day after the pre-app.
Okay.
They are serious about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It does that. It does address the housing.
It's a 320 unit apartment complex.
Yes. 450 parking spots or something.
What are the cross streets for that development?
Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
So it's this piece of property right here.
Yes.
Okay. All of that. Okay. I didn't realize that was not part of the White Oak Savannah. So that is contained just to the right side of Tandler there.
Yeah, on the opposite side of Tandler from White Oak Savannah.
Okay. So all of that is developable. And we're talking, did you say it's mixed use or what's the zoning?
It has a small commercial component.
But it's 10,000 square feet, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I got some commercial that we put down here and then apartments up the hill.
It's going to align the east-west direction.
And then do you say in the report we were looking at today, there's, sorry, that the report we're looking at today shows the realignment or that just that's mentioned there? Because I didn't see that. I don't.
Tandler is in our TSP. Tandler is shown to realign to this intersection. So it would come up here and then kind of turn
it
and connect to get away from
this intersection.
This intersection being so close to this intersection.
It seems like that same issue came up with the discussion of the Oppenlander property, and it seems like that is a zoning requirement, right? Is that you can't have major intersections coming in at those kind of intervals.
Right. We don't want them. It really impacts our level of service.
Safety. Yeah.
The level of service of our intersections are supposed to keep them all but E, I guess, right?
That's it.
Okay. Seems like a traffic safety revision in the future waiting to happen if you develop it that way and then leave it with busy intersections and high traffic that way.
If there is any improvements required from this development, then they pay a proportionate part of that improvement and the city pays the rest.
Well, no, well, still we're
working through that. The city would pay the rest if the city had money to pay the rest.
Well, that's just my question. When we talk about roads not having money to maintain, if we end up having to throw money at this, and I know it's a long ways off, but it's a question.
So the question is, what would happen in this situation is there may be some SDC credits that they would get. So we would not charge them for transportation SDCs in lieu of us funding portions to build the rebuild the intersection or pay our proportion.
And the other,
what's our incentive for giving like SDC reductions? I mean, we want to promote development. Is that the idea?
Depends on what department you're talking to.
Yeah, I guess that's, I'm wondering from a, like, is that a decision that just people sitting in the city of Westland offices decide, or is that something that like our city council has deliberated on and has a purposeful like stance on? Because it seems like a huge kind of, or I know that we have some obligations from the state and things like that to create certain levels of housing and that kind of thing. But I guess I'm just wondering for SDCs specifically for something that has a massive amount of impact when we're not doing some of the things already and identifying issues where there's, you know, we're not doing crosswalks, for example, in certain places, like Mary brought up the one for Sunset. I guess I wonder if using money to facilitate further development rather than like making that the cost of developing.
It's so hard. You got to understand system development charges can only be used for growth related improvements. So they can't be used to pave streets. They can't be, you know. So in this case, you have a project identified as realigning Candler. It probably shows up in your in one of our improvement streets. And so this is a logical connection with your system development charges. They're only growth related. You can't use them for anything else. They're very stagnant is where they can go.
And it's an overall pretty small percentage.
Right.
I mean, I imagine that every single dollar would be easy to allocate with that prescription of it. We would be showing how it would be tied to the development that's been added and the new burden on the roads.
The projects also have to be in the transportation system plan. You can't just make them up at the last minute. These are all things that home builders fought for years. So you have a list of projects and divide it up by the amount of money that you think you're going to increase from growth, and that's what you spend it on. It's pretty laid out, really.
Yeah, if I'm hearing you right, so there's $1 million in STCs that they would have to pay us, let's say, and if we're going to credit that much towards this project, it's not like we're shorting another project or not doing another project with this $1 million. It's only, we can only use, like Greg said, we can only use it on certain projects, and that it's 23% or 24%. Eligible.
I guess I'm thinking that the development of that land would require them to plan, the planning of that would require that that's where the road comes through though, right? And then some of the things, and when you say credit them, do you mean we're crediting them or we're utilizing those SDC dollars to do the projects that we're describing?
You're just not going to charge them.
We wouldn't charge them, right?
I guess that's the part that I don't understand. Is it because we want to make building cheaper? Is that the idea?
Well, no. It's how it's in the plan, and how can we?
How can the city pay its share of that project?
Yeah.
Well, there's another factor here.
Sorry. Go ahead, Mary.
No, someone else started to talk.
Well, I was just.
What was that?
Add, there's another element here, and that is that. The portion of Candler that's going to be vacated because it will no longer be used. They will take only or they plan to incorporate it into their development. So they're going to utilize a portion of a vacated right of way. They in turn have to dedicate right of way for the realignment. So there's a question of, you know, what's the trade-off there? Are they equal in terms of the amount of land they gain versus lose? And so that's right. Going to have to factor in there somehow.
Yeah. All right, Mary, you're up.
Thank you. Just for my own curiosity, do you mind scrolling the map slightly over to Summerlin Apartments? Because that's where I'm understanding a lot of the concern is coming from. Do you know who's got the driver?
I got it.
Okay. Clark, do you know where that is?
Are you up here in this area?
Summerlin Apartments or condominiums, I guess they are.
That's these.
Are to the west, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So,
sorry.
No, it's fine. I just kind of wanted to, because there were a lot of people who I've been hearing from and generally about the concerns of, I just had not seen the size of that development from kind of the bird's eye view.
Yeah, it's pretty big. And it's kind of, so there's a group of apartments down here. But then the Summerlin, these are all the Summerlin ones up here.
Okay. All right. And then now if we can go back to that little piece of property that, I mean, it's not little, but relatively, it's that green kind of strange shaped rectangle. I don't know what that angle is. Geometry specialist here. I don't know. Anyway, Looks like. Okay, there it is. Yeah, it's kind of, this parcel is downhill from Summerlin if you're speaking sort of topographically or geographically.
Correct. Yep.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I have no wisdom to impart on the topic and will probably be sitting in judgment on appeal. So I'm not discussing this.
Then that's a good place to stop that. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I brought it up because I heard about it from a concerned citizen who happened to be up on Bland up in that neighborhood. And of course, Handler's a through street for them to come down the hill. So, so anyway, the answer is we don't have any skin in the game on this as a transportation advisory board. It's a planning commission issue. And if you want to follow it, you follow it on our website. All the information, the traffic impact study will be there at some
point. Be there to review, right? Anyone can review.
Yep. Okay.
And if you can make heads or tails out of it.
Yeah. Okay. So that brings us to number 7. Well, the board discussion. Any other board items that anybody would like to bring up? Announcements? Anything? Is our calendar year 2026 going to know what that's going to be as far as?
We should. Yeah. Make sure they're on the calendar.
So next one would be January 21st, right? Third Wednesday of the month.
Yep. Okay.
I'm not looking at the calendar there, right? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
18th of February?
March.
I mean, March, I'm sorry. Yeah,
18th. And March. Are you and Rich on the board for another year or two?
No, he goes off. I think I have.
He's got 2 more years.
I think that's right.
Okay. So you're going off in this calendar year?
Yeah. So my term expires.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And I think we're moving.
No. Okay. We didn't even throw you a party or anything.
It's okay. It's okay. Well, we'll come back to haunt you if there's something troubling you.
Okay. Yeah. Would you like to stay on for another term? No.
I've given it some thought, and I think I've spent 9 years now, 9 years on it. I think I'm ready to move on to something else.
You have to find a worthy successor.
Yeah.
Lady. There we are. She's been sitting in observing. It's a good candidate.
All right.
But I can do that, Mary. Let's see if I know of anyone that might be interested. I'll put them this way.
I'm joking. You don't have to.
Well, I will say, I mean, thank you very much for 9 years of service on this board. That's really appreciated, and I've always really appreciated your insights. So,
yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we got a calendar coming out. We'll have a board vacancy next year. Anything else?
All right.
Okay.
Let's go. Mom.
All right. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks, Mary. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Get the month of December.